Welcome to New World Notes, hosted by Kenneth Doust. Today, Chaz K. returns with a new audio collage on the roots of the environmental crisis. It features David Corton, and it's a keeper. I hope you'll stay tuned. The fertile brain of Chaz K. had been lying fallow for a bit, but at last it's yielded a small new crop of audio collages. And I've picked a good one. I guess I've extended that metaphor far enough. Anyway, it's part of the series that Chaz calls Paradigm Tales. And it really is about our mental paradigms at the root of our ecology crisis. Where they come from, and how we need to change them. I can't find the source, but somebody had a great definition of paradigm. It's what you think before you start thinking about it. Today's collage features a recent speech in Seattle on Earth Day by David Corton. He's a former professor of Harvard Business School. At last, he reached the conclusion that capitalism is an insane, psychopathic system that is rapidly destroying the entire planet. We need something much different. In this Earth Day speech, Corton summarizes the doctrine of capitalism. He calls it the sacred money and markets story. He then traces the even broader beliefs behind that doctrine, the cosmologies of religion, of science, and of mysticism. Each of these cosmologies alone discourages people from trying to solve the planet's crises. But with a synthesis of the three, we can see a way of replacing our sacred money and markets story with a better story, the sacred life and living earth story. Okay, philosophy is hard, dirty work, but somebody's got to do it, and better him than me. Actually, better he than I, but I digress. Corton's talk was an hour long. Chaz K. has distilled it to maybe 12 minutes. Here, interwoven with Corton's talk, is Chaz's trademark blend of songs, film clips, and audio whatnot. I've shortened the music a little to make it all fit our radio time slot. The piece is titled, From Serving Money to Serving Life.
Paradigm Tales.
Is there anybody here that doesn't from time to time get a little depressed and feel like it's hopeless? I want you to know I share that. I mean, people often ask me, do you think there's any possibility we can actually change? Well, my response to that is, well, if I look at it as an objective academic observer, we haven't got a chance in hell of getting out of this. It's already too late. We're in too deep.
Humans, the dominant life form on Earth. A 7 billion strong planet-wide race of space-traveling bipedal apes capable of great technological marvels and constant.
We think we're so smart, it's funny. Not much wisdom, but damn, we got money. We're just animals like everybody else, but we've learned to like to destroy ourselves. So, if I could, I would trade it all. Let the chips fall where they may. Control is an illusion. Toast to Robbins and nuclear fusion. Don't get us anywhere but further away from living life in a natural way. We are relatively new to the forest. Gotta learn from the ones here before us. We're the younger brother of all the other species, but we quit listening and now it's easy to see.
Then I remind myself that if we take that as our assumption, we create a self-fulfilling prophecy. It becomes absolutely certain, that outcome. And that is an intolerable outcome. It is an unacceptable outcome. So I have to do everything I can based on the assumption it is not too late, based on the assumption that it is possible to change, to create a new reality.
We're getting closer to the edge. We're stepping up, we're jumping off, don't know where we're going. We're getting closer to the end. Push them up them seas, and jump on in. The water's rising, the tide is coming, and you're sleeping, you're sleeping, you're sleeping. The load is heavy, we're all tied up. No more thinking, more thinking, more thinking. You can read every book there is, calculate time like a quiz. From dirt sheets to showbiz, we're all in this together. Trip, hop, skip, tumble down. Don't make out just standing around. The righteous sound, we're all in this together, yeah.
Another piece of that is it's a whole lot more fun getting together with friends, creating the new reality, than it is sitting around being cynical, depressed. Also, at 77 years old, I've lived through a bit of history. And I've seen some incredibly dramatic changes take place very quickly. You know, we grew up with taught the story, at least certainly my generation, there's only two choices, either you're capitalist or you're communist. So either you're a ruthless, thieving individual, or you're a suppressed collectivist who loses individual identity.
When mankind quit the nomadic life and settled down, he entered an era of invention and innovation.
I will get up and walk the dog at 6:30 a.m. I will shave. I will clean the sink after I shave. I will be at work by 8 a.m. I will sit through two-hour meetings. I will separate the recycling. I will watch your vampire TV shows with you. I will put my underwear in the basket. And because I do this,
mankind will control the oceans, control the land areas of this planet, will control space, outer space, and cyberspace. In other words, control everything on the face of the earth.
Well, this right here is for the modern man. So far from shore, he can't see the line in the sand, or the only finger left standing up on the hand of everyone and everything else. I finally understand. He's the product of so many generations of shell-shocked, disconnected nations, growing ever worse ever since separation from the earth that even now longs to embrace him. Even after the things he's done, even after what he's become, why does life still reward him with air, water, and sun? As far as questions go, I think that's a good one. Well, maybe it's just like Wesley said, it's not to the...
I'm a modern man for the millennium. I've been uplinked and downloaded, I've been inputted and outsourced, I know the upside of downsizing, I know the downside of upgrading. I'm a high-tech lowlife. I read junk mail, I eat junk food, I buy junk bonds, I watch trash sports. I've been pre-washed, pre-cooked, preheated, pre-screened, pre-approved, pre-packaged, post-dated, freeze-dried, double-wrapped, vacuum-packed, and
I'm as bad as hell, and I'm not gonna take this anymore!
I'm a human being, damn it! My life has value!
I used to know these things when I was young, but when I got civilized, I forgot all these things. I didn't know which way to go, 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 which way to go.
Tell me your image of God, and I will tell you your politics. He goes on to explain. There are two primary images of God in the Christian Bible. One is the anthropomorphic patriarch, the God created in our image, who is an elder male like me. I can't imagine who would have written that story. It sets up a hierarchy of domination. Who is closest to that God? That God who is all-powerful and all-knowing. So what's the hierarchy then? So, part of it, comes out as men are over women, women are over children, maybe they're all over people of color, they're over animals, etc., etc. But who's closest to God? Who does God favor? Which obviously is the rich and powerful. Well, that's interesting. He says the other image is the spirit image. The spirit manifests through all creation, through all being. He said, now that image sets up a very different frame for society. We are all connected. We are all interrelated. We are all part of the same expression. Wow, now there's the foundation for democracy, for true community. The power of our stories and the extent to which, in some ways, very simple variations in what on their surface are very simple stories can have profound effects in society. The fact that our established stories are partial, incomplete, and the corporate interests fill the gap with what I call a sacred money and market story. These are essential elements. Listen very closely to these elements and calculate in your mind, is that statement true or false? Time is money. Money is wealth. Making money creates wealth. Making money is the defining purpose of people, business, and the economy. The rich are obviously society's wealth creators. Affluent lifestyles are their fair and just reward. Material consumption drives prosperity and is the path to happiness. Poverty is a consequence of laziness. The earth belongs to us. It is our human nature to be individualistic, competitive, and acquisitive. And guided by the invisible hand of the free market, these beneficial qualities unleash the creative potential of humanity to grow the economy, to create wealth, end poverty, and drive the technological innovation required to eliminate our human dependence on nature. The community interest is simply an aggregation of the individual private interests of its individual members. We therefore all do best when we each focus on maximizing our own individual private interest. Corporations are just groups of people working in common cause to create wealth for us all. They are the engines of wealth creation and entitled to the same rights as any person. This is the story we live by, the story we're taught. Did you notice anything in that statement that was true? Every single element of that story is either false or grossly misleading.
Tear the earth apart. It's getting bigger, but it ain't getting better. The writing's on the wall in bright red letters. Big dump trucks, skyscrapers, chemical factories, all earth rapers. Agriculture means fighting nature. Imposing our will like a legislature. We've wiped out the ones who were content to live with the earth to come. The war of our ancestors had ended, so we can save our descendants.
And we are destroying life to make money. I ask myself, is there intelligent life on earth? As I'll go on with the stories, I'm absolutely convinced there is intelligent life on Earth, but we still have to prove that we humans are an intelligent species.
Your silence when it's rooted in compliance. To stand firm in loving defiance. Make Archer Alliance. Give voice to the fire. Move people to the beat of the wind. Gather yourself and begin to dance the song until it ends. We are winners, champions of the light, forming in numbers and might. Keep the truth close in sight.
Medicine woman, medicine man. Walk in with grace, I know your face, and I trust your hand. Medicine woman, medicine man. Walk in with grace, I know your face, and I trust your hand. Find your teachers in the voice of the forest. Unplug, you can't ignore this wisdom of the voiceless. Remedies are bountiful and surround us from the garden to the farthest. Pray you're made of stardust. Find your healing in the music that calls you, the voice that enthralls you. What do you belong to? Eyes up, there's the setting of the sun. Give thanks to each and everyone. The lesson is the medicine woman, medicine man. Walk in with grace, I know your face, and I trust your hand.
So why do we accept this story, this obviously false story? Well, part of it is our partial and outdated cosmologies, each of which has a contribution to make to our deeper understanding, but each of which is inadequate in itself. Now, there's identify three basic stories. There's the distant patriarch story that I mentioned before. There's the grand machine story of science. And there is the story of the mystical unity. Now think of each of these in terms of its message about agency, the ability to act, the ability to influence, to do, to choose. Relationships, the nature of our relationships with each other and with nature. And meaning or purpose, the meaning and purpose of life, of our existence. So the distant patriarch, all agency resides with the patriarch who lives apart. So if things aren't going well here, the obvious solution is to pray to God to fix it. Now our primary relationship, my primary relationship, is to Him. Because the key, the meaning of my life, is to get on His good side, to get a good place in the afterlife. So it's not about fixing anything here. I once heard a woman who was of the rapture tradition on the radio say, "I think of my life here on earth as just a short stayover in a cheap hotel." Well, you don't set about to try to repair the cheap hotel when you're just staying overnight. So this pretty much relieves us of responsibility. Now, the grand machine story is that the whole of the universe is like a giant clockworks. Maybe there was a god or the clockmaker that set it up and set it in motion. But basically, it's just a mechanism winding down to a heat death as its spring unwinds. So if you take this story literally, there is no agency. There may have been agency way at the beginning, but the rest of it is just playing out. Everything is related, but it's like billiard balls bouncing off one another or the gears in the clock. Meaning? There is absolutely no meaning. Wow. That is depressing. I think I'll go shopping. And that's not a facetious connection. It very much plays into that. Then there's a mystical unity story. The only true reality is the mystical unity, the spirit. That what we perceive as reality is simply an illusion created of the ego. And that is the cause of our suffering and separation. So through meditative practice, our goal should be to get rid of the ego, meld into the oneness, and essentially get out of all this pain. Now that's also interesting because it really, there is no particular meaning to existence in that story. Relationships all sort of dissolve because it's all just of an undifferentiated unity. Agency is kind of irrelevant. So there we have three stories, each partial, none of which that I can see offers us any true guide to addressing the realities of the failures of society as we see them.
Well, you can hear the story, but can you swallow the tale about me and you and poison in the well, about stripping the mountain to the naked truth, about a fall from grace and from the burden of proof?
If we begin to put them together, however, we see a very interesting synthesis. Religion recognizes there is agency in creation, there is consciousness, and there is intelligence. It exists in the universe and is essential to the unfolding of the universe. Then you come to science. Well, mechanism and chance are a part of our material existence. And science gives us insights, a lens into the deepest structure of reality and of creation. I mean, my field is organization from business school, and so I want to know how things organize. And, you know, in business school, you just look at how the corporation organizes to make maximum money. But if you apply that to creation, you say, wow. You look at all those, you know, particle physics, quantum physics. You look at the deepest levels of biology. These physical forms are organizing out of these particles by processes that we have scarcely the slightest understanding. And then we get into our own bodies and the organization of our bodies, the organization of life on Earth, all of the organisms and how they relate together. We have only the barest understanding of that. But it does create a sense of wonder. Then you come to the mystical unity story. Spirit is the ground of all creation. That all creation is a manifestation of spirit. Okay? So maybe we put these together. And what I see happening is an emerging new story. Various people are beginning to put it together into a coherent frame.
I believe in bending backwards and extending my trap strip back into the messages and action. The art is feeding, stop stuck the disbelieving, cause the garden holds the shards, the medicine is in the seeds. When we hold tight to our right to protect, and we know our might is tenfold in connection. Our elders hold them bright lights, we protect them. The medicine is evident, the wolf, the hawk, the bear clan. We hold tight to our right to protect, and we know our might is tenfold in connection. Our elders hold them bright lights, we protect them. The medicine is evidence, the wolf, the hawk, the
medicine woman, medicine man. walking with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands. Medicine woman, medicine man, walking with grace. I know your face and I trust your hands.
This is the story that, in my view, must replace the sacred money and market story. I call it the sacred life and living earth story. Time is life. Real wealth is living wealth. Money is just a number, useful as a medium of exchange in well-regulated markets. We humans are living beings, born of and nurtured by living earth, itself born of a living universe. And that changes everything. Life exists only in community. We are part of nature, not apart from nature. Earth does not belong to us. We belong to Earth. Our health and prosperity depends on Earth's health and prosperity. Our human nature calls us to care and share for the benefit of all. Increasingly, brain science is discovering that that is what is actually wired into our brain. Serving the living community that sustains us is essential to community health, and that service is our source of greatest happiness. Now, this one is really interesting. If you look at the fundamental assumptions of conventional economics, individualistic greed, ruthless competition, and violence against life are indicators of serious psychological and societal dysfunction. They're the characteristics of the psychopath and the sociopath. And yet we set it up as the ideal for economic behavior. Wow. Poverty, in reality, is most often the consequence of a lack of opportunity. The proper purpose of any human institution, whether business, government, or civil society, is to support people as productive, contributing, sharing members of a vibrant and prosperous living earth community. Corporations that seek to monopolize resources and decision-making power in the pursuit of purely financial ends have no place in a healthy society.
Paradigm Tales.
Thus ends Chaz K's new audio collage on Fixing the World We Live In, featuring David Corton. You'll find a link to Chaz K's complete works at our website, which remains newworldnotes.blogspot.com. You'll also find there an archive of our past shows, and you'll find my email address. If you'd care to send some comments, I'd be glad to hear from you. Once again, that address is newworldnotes.blogspot.com. From Darkest Connecticut, this is Kenneth Doust, thanking you for listening, advising illegitimi non-carborundum, and suggesting, let's try to live each day as though the truth were true. Peace.